next, we're going to have a friend and comrade, Sarah, who is part of a group called One Struggle, One Fight, and they're organizing for a march for civil rights all the way from San Francisco to Sacramento. This is going to be beginning March 25th, and it's going to finish up March 30th. Sarah, welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks for being on. You want to just start off by telling us a little bit about the organization that's putting all this together, One Struggle, One Fight, and then talk a little bit about the event itself.
Sure. One Struggle, One Fight formed immediately after Prop 8 passed on November 4th in California, and of course Prop 8 is the proposition that stripped away the right of gay people to marry, which the Supreme Court had granted the previous May. And so this group formed because people were eager to do something, they were eager to organize around not only the repeal of Prop 8, but around other social and economic justice issues, including, as well as other LGBT issues aside from marriage. Whereas it seemed like the movement, the queer rights movement or the gay rights movement was mainly talking about marriage or only talking about marriage. We felt like it was important to talk about marriage, but not only concentrate on marriage as if there weren't other issues that were important to the LGBT community. And so we're basically a grassroots, collectively run alternative to the larger groups that do work around gay rights. And also, I think it's important to say that one of the things that we were upset about after Prop 8 passed was a lot of the scapegoating that went on against religious communities and against Black people in particular. And so we aim to be sort of inclusive and anti-racist and anti-classist and sort of anti-sexist in the organizing that we're doing. And, you know, we're gay, we're straight, we're bisexual, and we're transgendered, but some of us are gender nonconformers, and some of us are living with HIV/AIDS, and we want to make sure that we're talking about the issues that are important to all of the people that are involved in the group. So I could talk a little bit about the March to Sacramento if you want.
Yeah, sure, that would be great.
Okay, so the March to Sacramento, which is it's happening from March 25th to the 30th, it's going from San Francisco to Sacramento. It's actually, we're having a kickoff event in San Francisco on the 24th, and then we're marching from Berkeley to Sacramento on, starting on the 25th. And the idea behind this is kind of twofold, I guess. One is that we're really emphasizing that we want to see the repeal of Prop 8, but we're also talking about some other issues, which I can talk about in a second. And the sort of the other reason for this march is that we're going through communities that you know the gay rights movement or the queer rights movement doesn't normally outreach to. So the point of this is sort of to be a bridge building march to talk to people in these communities about their struggles for social justice and economic justice. At the same time, we want to talk to them about what we're doing in the city. So, yeah, that's basically the point of the march.
Cool. And if people were interested in getting involved in this, where would they go or how would they go about getting involved?
They could go to onestruggleonefight.com and fill out a form there to receive emails. If people want to go on the march, there's going to be a registration form online that they can fill out. Because we're trying to keep track of how many people are going to be prepared in terms of logistics, you know. And then, but if people are unsure about whether or not they want to go on the march, but they'd like to hear, get more information about the march and about other organizing that we're doing, they should go to the website. It's onestruggleonefight.com again to sign up. And if access to the internet isn't easy, they can call my number, which is 310-500-7093. That's 310-500-7093.
Great. I think the work you guys are doing is definitely very commendable, and I think it's important too. I think, like, often what gets talked about in kind of mainstream media or whatever as gay issues is very, like, narrow,
And I think it's important what you guys are doing, trying to talk about how different forms of oppression do intersect, and how, you know, you can't just kind of, like, pigeonhole, you know, the issues that affect the LGBT community into, like, narrow, tidy topics to be discussed on, like, mainstream media. Did you want to take any, like, a couple moments to maybe talk about some of those kind of invisible issues of the LGBT community that don't get as much attention or discussion?
Sure. There are a number of issues I guess I could talk about, and one that comes to mind is for the struggle around the Employment Non-Discrimination Act, or ENDA. There was, last fall, there was a huge fight around getting ENDA passed through Congress at the national level, and what most of the queer rights movement was fighting for was an inclusive ENDA. And when I say inclusive, I mean an ENDA that actually is not just about protecting people protecting people against discrimination based on sexual orientation, but also protecting people based on gender identity or expression. So, in other words, federal legislation that would protect transgender people in particular from being discriminated against on the job. And I mean, it's a well-known fact, I hope, that transgender people are, or if not well-known, it should be more well-known, that transgender people face a pretty disproportionate amount of discrimination on the job. And so I think that's like one of the issues that we aim to talk about more. Also, like, we really sort of support the work that this group called Pride at Work does. It's the LGBT rights group within the AFL-CIO, one of the two major labor federations in the country. And Pride at Work looks to protect the rights of LGBT people on the job through unionizing and through getting language and contracts that union contracts that protect the rights of LGBT people. But it's more than that. It's also about sort of being in solidarity with other communities and the struggles that they face. So, like, for instance, I know Pride at Work in San Francisco is doing a lot of work around immigrant rights and around housing rights. And they've actually endorsed our march, which is awesome. And then, so there's that. I mean, there's a whole host of other issues. Like, you know, even if we had the right to marry in California, that doesn't mean that we have the right to sponsor our partners for immigration purposes, right? Because that we would, in order to do that, we would need legislation passed at the federal level, and with the passage of the Defense of Marriage Act in the mid-90s under the Clinton administration, it made it, that legislation defined marriage as only between a man and a woman. So, of course, that means that gay people can't sponsor their partners for the purposes of immigration. I mean, so, like, that's something. But, you know, and we also are talking about immigration reform in a larger context. Like, we really think that there should be immigration reform that's more comprehensive, and people shouldn't have to depend on having a partner who's a citizen to be able to get a citizenship status in this country. It's kind of ridiculous the way the immigration system works. And so we're speaking out for, like, comprehensive immigration reform in addition to sort of condemning the raids that have been happening in immigrant communities. And we want to make the connection more with immigrant communities in particular, because I think a lot of immigrants end up sort of living in the shadows to some extent. They're afraid of being found out. They're afraid that their immigration status is going to be found out and they're going to be deported. So in a way, it's like similar to the lives that many LGBT people live, you know, living when they live lives in the closet, afraid of what their family and friends will say if they come out, afraid that they'll get fired from their job if they come out. So there's sort of a similarity there that I think is important to emphasize.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that and immigration equality and all sorts of other issues that affect the LGBT communities as well.
Yeah, definitely. And I think it's, definitely all these different movements that are happening need to start interacting a whole lot more. I think,
definitely.
You know, like this weekend, March 8th is the International Women's Day. There's always the Global Women's Strike. So that's tomorrow, Saturday. And then here in L.A. Sunday, too, we'll be having a big march against the recent ICE raids. So definitely there's lots of activity happening, and it's good to hear the work that you guys are doing to try to kind of bridge those gaps and connect the issues.
Yeah, and it's like, you know, I think the queer community needs to see what it has in common with other communities. And sort of, you know, like if gay white people who have some class privilege, I think, I would hope, and I think we're trying to do this, we're trying to sort of connect these issues to our issues, because we don't want sort of gay people to sort of go back to their private lives once they get married, you know, if that happens.
Mm-hmm.
We want to sort of use the momentum that exists right now in the queer rights movement to get people to continue to be active, not only for a whole host of issues pertaining to the LGBT community, but also a whole range of issues, social injustices that occur all the time in other communities. So I think it's really important to definitely emphasize those connections.
All right, great. Well, I think, you know, this month is Women's Month, and we'll definitely be checking in with you as the action starts going down following the 25th, once you all get marching. It would be great if we can, you know, set something up to get a little bit of an update and hear some reports from the actual march once it's underway. And we'll definitely be trying to hit more or have more discussions around the issues of gender, sexual orientation, and all of that in the theme of Women's Month all this month. So thanks for being on the show, Sarah.
And, thank you, Sarah.
Hopefully we'll have you again soon.
Okay, thanks. Bye.
All right, bye.
A veces pienso que me hace feliz mirar para arriba y no pensar en nada y respirar profundo. Como si esta tierra no estuviera contaminada. A veces pienso en echar un quejío que ha atravesado los senderos y la montaña. Pobreza, oro, no, pobreza.
Can let me dedicate this song. Hello? Yes. This song goes to Adelina, Porque los Ricos, from the Chilean group Los Prisioneros.
Llenos de comida, cantan como europeos, rubios y robustos. Escriben el camino a la universidad, llenan sus libretas de notas sin igual. Sus cabezas saben todo lo que hay que responder. Y en las escuelas numeradas nos enseñan humildad y resignación. Nos explican de qué está de mal pensar siquiera en ser profesional. Tu educación es una porquería, y yo con esas notas ni siquiera trataría. Te dice que ladrona, pago o esclavo. Y nunca trates de entender por qué los ricos, por qué los ricos tienen derecho a pasarlo también. Tienen derecho a pasarlo también. Por qué los ricos, por qué los ricos tienen derecho a pasarlo también, si son tan imbéciles como los pobres. Y van cruzando su ciudad, tallando en sus autos, ponen a su papá, disfrutando de la juventud, del derecho heredero. Del sur, a veces unos tienen ganas de igualar, forman entidades, juegan a luchar, discursos y recursos, vida intelectual, y todo sigue tan igual, tan igual.
Porque los ricos tienen derecho a pasarlo también, tienen derecho a pasarlo también. Porque los ricos, porque los ricos tienen derecho a pasarlo también. Imbéciles, si son tan imbéciles. Y los de arriba siguen, y los de abajo siguen. Nadie tiene ganas de ver un final. Si los de abajo creen lo que de arriba dicen, ¿en quién voy a confiar? Quizá al final me dé igual.
Here is 213-252-0998. You can write to us at echosdelibertad@hotmail.com. You can also send us MSN Messenger messages through echosdelibertad@hotmail.org. We're back. We've been talking about space in Los Angeles, space and in the public space. But we've also touched upon several topics like gentrification, as Anita and Tiburcio just brought up a while ago. So we have a guest from Boston.
Yeah, we have Dominic on the line. Dominic is a volunteer organizer with the anti-eviction campaign of City Life, or Vida Urbana, and also a member of the Boston NEFAC. Welcome, Dominic.
Which stands for North America, Northeastern Federation of Anarcho-Communists. There, I got it.
So, yeah, Dominic, if you could just start off by describing a little bit about what the anti-eviction campaign you're involved in is all about, and just the work of your organization.
Cool. Well, this specific campaign has been going on in Boston for about a year and a half. It was initiated by, as you mentioned, an organization called City Life Vida Urbana, which is a housing rights organization that's existed for approximately 35 years. It's kind of at the forefront of sort of radical organizing in the Boston area, specifically kind of anti-capitalist, radical political organization, but that actually, you know, does grassroots organizing, has a base of constituency of tenants, basically, you know, I'm sure folks know by now about the this economic crisis that the world is in, and one of the ways that it came on hardest in the U.S. at first was this the subprime mortgage crisis, where banks essentially created, they say, about $213 billion of overinflated value of homes, taking advantage of people who, you know, wouldn't otherwise be able to qualify for home loans, giving them bad loans, collecting all their mortgage money in the meantime, and then when everything kind of fell apart, now they want to foreclose all the homes, they want to kick everybody out. So what City Life does in this campaign is organizes people who live in the homes that are being foreclosed, whether that be single-family homeowners or tenants or live-in landlords, organize them to defend their home, to stay in their home, try to negotiate with the banks to repurchase the home at a just mortgage value. So they do that through they have citywide meetings. They fight in the court system as far as fighting eviction cases. They've supported some state legislation around this stuff, but mostly, mostly it happens on the ground level with mostly tenants coming together and kind of having each other's backs, refusing to move out, refusing to accept money to move out. The banks a lot of times try to use this tactic that's called cash for keys, where they offer folks like $1,500 or $2,000 to move out, which, a lot of folks, that's a chunk of cash. It could, potentially help them move or whatever. But through working with the City Life campaign, people have the average that people have gotten if they decide to move out is $20,000. So there's that aspect of it. People who, are living in foreclosed buildings also are not, they're not responsible to pay rent to the bank. So people are, withholding rent, defending their homes, sticking up to each other, and it goes through the court system. But even at the end, if there's an eviction ruling, City Life still defends the people that live in the home. We do eviction blockades. We have rallies, pickets outside the homes on the day that they're supposed to be evicted, with other allies, labor unions, other community groups, church groups, radical groups, and it's been really successful. We're kind of, the crisis is not over, but we're kind of seeing the other side of the tunnel as far as, the strategy we've been using, and we've been very successful. A lot of, I'd say, thousands of people just in Boston have been able to stay in their homes through this campaign.
That's really amazing work you guys are doing. I know that I've heard of these sorts of direct actions of doing anti-eviction blockades, like
in the 1930s and or the 20s and maybe into the 30s and stuff, but this is really amazing. I don't think I've heard of anything like that happening anytime recently until basically.
How does work? To be honest,
I hadn't heard of it other than in sort of idealistic anarchist whatever way of, oh, this is the things we should be doing, we should be squatting, we should be, you know, I was part of a group maybe 6 years ago where, you know, that was our goal. We were at Radical Tenants Union and we were going to do eviction blockades. Of course, we never got that far because nobody would listen to us because we had no connections to anybody. But, yeah, I mean, it's been working here, and this kind of model of organizing is taken off. There's a lot of other organizations around the country right now that are looking at City Life's model to replicate. It's happening in Providence. It's happening in other places in Massachusetts or on the East Coast. And to be honest, I'm not really plugged in as far as what's going on in other areas in the Midwest or South or West Coast, whatever. But, I mean, foreclosure in Massachusetts, the rate of foreclosure is like 2.25%. So it's fairly low. California, I know, is like over 4%. So, you know, people are dealing with some real issues here, but it's, as far as how, we're impacted compared to the rest of the country, it's pretty minimal. It's a desperate situation, the economic crisis in general, and, I see a lot of hope in this kind of organizing of, people are taking a strong stand and saying that, these banks like Bank of America got $45 billion out of this bailout already, and Wells Fargo, which is probably the biggest forecloser in my neighborhood, East Boston, got $25 billion. Meanwhile, we have, in my neighborhood, mostly tenants are being thrown out on the street. They're being threatened, and, and especially, a lot of the folks that live in the neighborhood that I'm organizing in are immigrants. A lot of them are undocumented, and, they get a letter from a bank or from a lawyer that says, you got to move out. A lot of fear goes through their minds, and just thinking about, even if they stand up for it, the money it's going to cost them and lawyers, so... A lot of folks, a year ago would just move out and not think twice, even though they'd have to struggle to find a new place. So we're starting to see that, turn around here. People are getting in touch with the campaign. People are, refusing to move out. And it's really working. Like the banks kind of don't know what to do because people that are living in foreclosed buildings actually have a lot of legal rights they don't have before foreclosure.
Now, just in terms of, for example, their legal status and whatnot, how do these blockades, I guess, what's the repercussion on them? And also, how does the police or the authorities, how do people deal with encounters that they may have with them?
Well, the decision to actually hold an eviction blockade is, first and foremost, the decision is made by the people that live in the building, and then also there's this kind of a citywide meetings that are happening where people are, making decisions about these actions. And, the whole issue of eviction blockades and things like that, like in court, like an eviction case is a civil case. So for people who are undocumented, the court has no right to ask them for their documents. And the people that are generally arrested in these, there have been a few arrests, are generally paid organizers or community activists who volunteer to get arrested. It is a kind of more a symbolic thing, but that's not really even where the power really is, though, in these blockades. Most of it comes from having a mass of people there willing to, stating they're willing to defend the place. And the media coverage, because these banks, they're getting enough bad press as it is. So, in most cases, it doesn't even come down to really physically defending. It's just the shame that's put on these banks is enough to scare them off and keep people at home for a while.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing what you're talking about this stuff. And I think too, something you were talking about, or pretty much this whole conversation makes me think too, during this recession, I hear a lot of language about at least we've got a job, or basically the sentiment of we should be grateful for what we have. But I think it's really important in these times for, you know, people like ourselves to really push this idea that during time of recession is the, you know, is a time more than ever to organize. Because, yeah, we're all vulnerable, but if we're unorganized, we're all vulnerable, and
we stand to lose a lot. It's not a, in these times, like, it's not a matter of even, you know, pushing for something more. It's a, first and foremost, it's, you know, people are losing their homes, people are losing their jobs, people are losing, you know, vital things that they need. And so if they don't stand up and fight, then, you know, there's a lot at stake, and I think that's what's motivating a lot of people to get involved. At the same time, you know, the power that's created when these people come together and stand up is, you know, is enough to create the momentum that, you know, we're going to, if we organize like this continuously, you know, we're not going to be on the defensive anymore. We'll be going on the offensive and being able to make the demands as far as how we want our neighborhoods to be and how we want our, you know, all of these things to be, our work life to be. So, yeah, I mean, it's really interesting times right now, and now more than ever, we got to get organized and not be afraid to stand up for what is truly right and what we really need. These banks, you know, want to put it on us like, oh, you know, we need to keep going so that the economy doesn't totally collapse and all this stuff. And it's like, well, the economy hasn't been working for people for how long? You know, why should we put any more faith in these people? You know, and that's not wishing for some kind of collapse. I mean, that, what that's saying is, like, people are really hungry for change right now, and that's why you see, you know, people fighting in the streets and in the courts in Boston right now and around the country and around the world.
Yeah, definitely. And if listeners wanted to find out more about the work of your organization, is there a website or anything that they might be able to check out?
You can go on to the City Life Vida Urbana website is clvu.org. At the moment, I don't think there's a lot on there, actually. If you wanted to check out some media stuff, you might want to check out on YouTube, look up City Life Foreclosure. Also, Open Media Boston is a pretty good site for that. On the NEFAC site, that's NEFAC.net, there's some pretty good, couple articles. But, I mean, it's getting mainstream media coverage. And, you know, anybody who wants to try to do something similar where they live, you know, because this thing is literally in every neighborhood of every city and town in the country, get in touch with City Life, clvu.org, or 617-524-3541. And I'm sure they'd be more than happy to see this spread.
Definitely. Well, I think we need to get wrapping up because we still have one more in-studio guest for tonight's show. But thanks so much for being on, and we'll definitely be looking out your way to, you know, continue to follow up on the great work your organization has been doing.
Right on. Thanks. Can I just shout out my wife, Diana, and my son, Antonio?
Yeah, definitely. And if you have a song, like, you want to play, we might be able to get to a request.
Well, you know, I made a request last week that didn't get played. I don't know if you all have it. There's a song called 1929 by Akil, who's a new rapper from Philly, and it actually deals with the economic crisis in a really cool way. So if you have it, I don't know, you could go on MySpace right now and download the mixtape for free. I like the music you all play, so whatever's good with you is good with me. But if you have 1929 by Akil, I'll be ready for that.
All right, cool. We'll see what we can do.
All right, thank you.
Thanks for being on tonight.
All right.
Have a nice night. And we're going to go with a quick break with music. We'll be right back.
Alcemos la voz en un canto en favor de la paz. Alcemos la voz en un canto en favor de la paz. Alcemos la voz en un canto en favor de la paz, porque con hambre e injusticia no se puede encontrar. Alcemos la voz en un canto en favor de la paz. Alcemos la voz en un canto en favor de la paz. Alcemos la voz en un canto en favor de la paz, porque con hambre e injusticia no se puede encontrar. Este es un canto para unificar y en una sola dirección nuestra energía aprovechar, quitándole la máscara al tirano que con su barra y estrella mata a nuestro hermano. Vamos venezolanos, latinoamericanos, seamos banderas de una nueva idea. Unamos nuestras mentes en una sola tarea. No te quedes callado ante la injusticia. No apoyes al ladrón que con su máquina de justicia. La guerra por dinero, intoxicado de codicia. No vendas nuestro trópico. No abandones la fila. Alcemos nuestra voz para que sientan el poder latino y su riqueza, que no es el oro negro, sino esta esencia de sabor y mestizaje que está en nuestra sangre. El color de nuestra piel lleva el mensaje de que todos somos iguales. No vendas tu patria, no dejes que te engañen. Nos encuentran la paz siendo bombas mortales. Alcemos la voz en un canto en favor de la paz. Alcemos la voz en un canto en favor de la paz. Alcemos la voz en un canto en favor de la paz. Porque con hambre ya no se puede encontrar.
¿Y cómo va a haber paz en una nación cuando no se le pone verdadero corazón? Escúcheme señora, escúcheme señor, para conseguir paz hace falta más amor y justicia. En este mundo de malicia se matan entre países y se desquician, por eso es que este mundo no avanza. Tú quieres hacer algo bien y la vida no te alcanza. Son tantos tiros, tanta matanza, que se ha perdido el equilibrio de la balanza. Vivimos en un mundo material lleno de inventos y de belleza artificial, donde las armas son un producto comercial para ayudar a progresar al criminal. Tenemos terrorismo, tenemos racismo, tenemos lo que sea, pero no a nosotros mismos. Tenemos internet, tenemos satélite, televisión, aviones de gran élite. Esto es lo que se llama tecnología avanzada. Tenemos tantas cosas que no tenemos nada. Prefiero quedarme indio con mi guayuco, con mis pies descalzos y mi bejuco, con mi cultura y mi siembra y mi conuco, sin tantas trampas y sin tanto truco. Es hora de unificarnos en uno solo, con dos puntos cardinales, siete mares y dos polos. Ahora te pregunto, ¿de qué lado estás? ¿Del lado de la guerra o del lado de la paz? Si tu respuesta es la guerra, no hablemos más. Ya sé por dónde vienes y hacia dónde vas. Guerra por la economía, guerra por la evolución, por la tecnología, por la televisión. Guerra por la comida, guerra por la educación. Guerra porque si no te gusta yo te mando una explosión. Guerra por el territorio, guerra por el petróleo, guerra por el dinero que hay en el portafolio. Guerra porque no te gusta su color. Guerra porque es negro y tiene mal olor. Guerra porque es blanco y no tiene sabor. Guerra porque para tu país quieres lo mejor. Guerra porque tienes frío o porque tienes calor. Guerra porque estás hundido y nadie te hace un favor. Guerra por esto y lo otro, guerra por todo, señor. Pido paz en el nombre de los latinos, africanos, europeos, australianos y chinos. Pido paz para tener otro camino, sin violencia, sin maldad, sin bomba de palestinos. Pido paz para que todo esté tranquilo y no haya más armas ni cuchillos con doble filo. Pido paz por el futuro de los niños que nacen desamparados, sin cobijo y sin cariño. Pido paz, igualdad y humanidad, ya que sin estos ingredientes no habrá prosperidad. Hacemos la voz en favor de la paz,
quitándole la máscara al tirano que con su barra siempre ya mata a nuestro hermano. El color de nuestra piel lleva el mensaje de que todos somos iguales. En un canto en favor de la paz, alcemos la voz en un canto en favor de la paz, alcemos la voz en un canto en favor de la paz, porque con hambre ya no se puede encontrar.
Y estamos de regreso, estamos de regreso. Estamos de vuelta, estamos aquí en killradio.org. El teléfono aquí es 213-252-0998, Ecos de Libertad. Y un saludo gigante, gigante a la gente de Venezuela. Esa canción es de un artista venezolano. Y aquí tenemos a dos invitadas, a Robin y Janelle, que nos van a platicar un poquito sobre lo que vieron allá, allá en Venezuela, parte de América Latina. Y también, to make a contrast, and I know I'm mixing Spanglish, whatever, but you'll get the point. To talk about how they build community spaces and how, for example, the economic system in Venezuela is attempting something different than what we presently have here or worldwide, and what how it is different and how they support the arts and how they support building community and community spaces. So do you want to introduce yourselves?
Sure. I'm Robin Garcia, and I just returned from Venezuela, and where I did a little bit of research for my thesis topic. And what's really interesting is that a common representation of Venezuela in the United States, and definitely in the U.S. media, is that Venezuela is a dictatorship and the people have no political voice, right? Hugo Chavez is a dictator, but the way that community spaces, media, and the arts are functioning in Venezuela is a great example of a way that the people actually are the driving force of the revolution. And the point of I think me and Janelle talking about Venezuela today is to highlight the ways that people are building popular forms of power through the arts.
And I'm Janelle Morrow, also just returning from Venezuela with Robin, where I was also doing research for my dissertation. But I'm particularly looking at hip-hop for protest. So I interviewed several hip-hop collectives that are doing conscious hip-hop.
Including this artist.
Yes, including.
Can you tell us a little bit about them?
Yeah, the group that the song we just played, they're called Dame Pa Matala, and they're from a region in Venezuela called Yaracuy. And they are a group of several hip-hop artists who've come together that just mostly work on music for the revolution. So it's a fusion of music. I mean, you hear like the salsa and mm-hmm. other fusion types, even a little bit of reggae and some of their other songs. But they only do like leftist political music now. So and they used to have like some members in their group who weren't really conscious, and they said, you know what, we're not doing like mainstream hip hop. This is hip hop for a purpose, mm-hmm. You know, sort of protest hip hop. Mm-hmm. So those are the kinds of individuals and collectives that I was interviewing in Venezuela and trying to see like what is the role of hip hop in the revolution, mm-hmm. and you know, what is the role of even the arts in the revolution. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And what was really kind of profound, actually, in the interview that Janelle did with them was that they said the government actually was paying them to produce this art. So that was legitimizing hip-hop as a form of labor, where, like, in the United States, right, like, hip-hop doesn't seem like an art. It's kind of, like, pushed to the periphery, and it's not seen as, like, work. So that, mm-hmm. like, people who are doing creative forms of expression in some cases are getting paid to do that, and it's becoming... things are changing in Venezuela, and no longer was this group... I don't remember, but some of the other collectives that we talked to had at one point gotten funding, and now they aren't because of the new mayor who's on the side of the opposition. He's cut a significant amount of funding to different community centers that supported like community art and that kind of stuff. But and the people were kind of very frustrated with that. But the whole point is that like these forms of popular expression, especially like the media, which has totally like sprung up all over Venezuela. Before the revolution, there were maybe a few different media stations, community-based radio and TV stations, mm-hmm. that operated like kind of underground. Like they would just pirate forms of media. But then after 2002, after the attempted coup against Chavez, the alternative media was really at the forefront in bringing the revolution, bringing Chavez back to power, and it became officially recognized by the state. So officially recognized, legalized, and also provided with support in terms of technology. So anybody in any community in any part of Venezuela can request equipment from the government and get it for free, and also some training. And then they can produce, direct, and star in their own local community-based media. So now I think there's about 700 different media collectives in the country, and they're just springing up everywhere. And so part of the research that I was doing was asking questions like, what has the influence of this community-based media been in this community? How has, like, what kinds of issues have been brought to the forefront through the media, and what kind of political activism has this outlet sort of brought out, you know, in cases where there wasn't necessarily any political participation in that community mm-hmm. before. In some places, people would just say, like, that, you know, like, it's, we have, there's just, actually, there were, like, just a huge variety of responses, but in one case in the state of Yaracuy, folks were telling me that the government, you know, like, that the government is, like, doing the revolution at the national level, and this, the media is actually the revolution at the local level, because it's a place where people can contest the politics of the government, critique them, can challenge them, but also still be revolutionary in terms of, like, putting things in check and pushing the process forward. So, for example, like, in a place where the water wasn't being delivered to a community, they would call into the radio and say, water is not being delivered here. What's going on? This is a revolution. Why are we not getting water when, you know, we should be getting it? Let's put pressure on the mayor here. And that garnered a lot of protests in the community. They decided where they wanted to meet, like on a street corner. So these places have become like centers for like local politics. Mm-hmm. And then in like other places, people would say like they would use the radio would be like a space to recreate like what it meant to be Venezuelan, because the history of Venezuela is really unique in Latin America, especially Venezuela kind of has a traditional representation of being the model of the U.S. in Latin America, and so folks would say that the cultural expressions of Venezuela were just like mirrors of U.S. and that like whatever they considered to be traditional or authentic ways of being Venezuelan were being like washed out. And so the in some places like the radio in one radio where I interviewed a person, she was telling me that the radio became a place of cultural revival, so that like an anti like cultural revival at the same time as like a place of cultural revival and anti-imperialism, so that people could recreate what it meant to be Venezuelan by reviving cultural forms or creating new ones that are specific to the Venezuelan context.
Mm. Like articulating, once given a space, articulating their own point of view.
Exactly. And what's really unique about all the radios, like just like here, right, like people can call in and you can text message in. A lot of the dialogue that happens between the radios and the TVs, it happens in that way, that people will call in and say, like, I agree with you, I don't agree with you, that happened yesterday, I don't agree with the way you're representing it. And those kinds of community dialogues would take place on air. So as opposed to like corporate media in the United States, where the community has no dialogue with its own representation, there's this constant communication that's happening between it. And one really interesting thing that I came across was a lot of my questions were actually like, how has the radio influenced the community? And one guy totally put me in check. He was like, no, that's the wrong question. The right question is like to think about it as the radio is an extension of the community, so that the community is the center, and that the radio is not the center. It's the radio is a manifestation of our political work, and it supports us to continue furthering that, but it's not at the center, right? So that it's like, and that just, for me, that was a big aha moment, because it...
Well, I think today, especially after talking to Anita and Esteban, we do see this this need and this tendency of, you know, once you're giving the tools to originate or to begin some sort of project, it's really up to you to either lead it along the same lines or lead it beyond that, you know. And that's a beautiful thing about, I think, all these radio projects that are happening in Venezuela. Where they're giving the money and the space to build it, but yet they decide to do way, way more than that, an entirely political path. So we're hoping that Kill Radio, could also develop into way more than that too, or at least our Ecos de Libertad project. So I think we need to get going. It's almost, our time is almost up, unfortunately. But let's play some more music that you two brought for us here.
Sure.
So and we'll be back to say goodbyes to everyone.
Which track would be good to play?
Maybe play the first track on the other CD. Can you play the other CD?
Your favorite. Okay, well, while we set that up, I think we're going to play Dominic's request.
This goes for you and the cachetoncita that you have at home.
I'll tell them which track to play on the CD.
What to do when the funds get low, when the funds get low. Money never made the man. Judge my capital could give a damn. Their presidents pass through my hand. People stand for bad notes. They hold right, dream and gold. It's a shame that we don't see it though. The dollar's at an all-time low. Major precious metals, what I'm worth. Material was hard to let go. Sentiment to echo by the main culture. But ain't too many Oprahs. I'm up with super brokers. Economy gets open. Take notice of the realms of tigers. Overpriced over. Keep consuming those is open. Buying what I don't need. Our priorities. Taxed by authorities. Least pockets horribly, majority don't realize we keep 1% of the 100 ring is spent while you struggle with the rent. Let us circulate them dollars every cent or forecast empty pockets picking heavy lint.
Make your dollars circulate. Make your dollars circulate. Make your dollars circulate. We're headed towards depression. You better get your dollars right. You better get your mind right first. Make your dollars circulate. Make your dollars circulate. Make your dollars circulate. You see, we gotta buy black. Black business is black owned.
Been in a recession. They finally admitted headed towards depression. Lessons in the news and paper. Know how to look far. Check your neighbors. Rush scooters with the wars. Catching up sooner or later. Oil barrels greater than 100 bills. Food crisis gonna spill over. Food just to eat but you sleep. Rural or city. Unemployment rampant. Conglomerates of airlines. 1,000 planes landed. Downsides are standard. Second largest bank managed to fall. Major industry. Keep upon the laws. Flossing. But that is big business. Reprimand visit. And prisons for the other broken citizens. Iterate the point again. When we ride, try to keep within. The community need unity. About the revenue, how many got a clue how to stay afloat when the funds are tight, bills are due.
Make your dollars circulate. Make your dollars circulate. See, it's not money that's evil, it's the love of money that's evil. You living for $1. Make your dollars circulate. Make your dollars circulate. You see, anything you put value into, that's what it means. You gotta make it live for you.
Ironic, I find the dirtiest thing could cause crime. Exchange hands, millions of times, filthiest swine. Dollar combines in God we trust, with Satan lies. That crackles and slave drivers, devious guys. Woman letters deliver the sign, one over many. He flourish unum, with a few risks, control the penny. List for manipulation, control the nation. Low wages really compensating for living safer. Price of life is inflated, so the powerless can stay separated. Illegal way to see the drug trading. Settling and see the frustration. The plan divides. Become legalized, so you don't have to hide behind capital fortune, usually a crime. Slave trading on Wall Street, now it's stocks and bonds. Deceiving connive for economic ties. For the love of money, meanwhile the soul dies.
Make your dollars circulate. Make your dollars circulate. Make your dollars circulate. You think you're getting dope selling crack on that corner? You know what original dope man is?
Make your dollars circulate.
Make your dollars circulate. Make your dollars circulate. The number one business is prison industry, niggas. You better read up.
Sons de Libertad, we're back. We have a few announcements, calendar of events really quick before we go. Tomorrow, March 7th, en Santiago de Chile comienza el Marzo Anarquista. Para más detalles, marzoanarquista.org. También on Sunday, March 8th, we have the Anarchist People of Color Potluck. That's happening at 5:30 on Sunday at the Eastside Cafe. More information at 323-313-8562 or apoclosangeles@gmail.com. What else do we have? We also have the on Sunday, March 8th, the 10th annual Global Women's Strike, from 2 to 6 p.m. at the Good Shepherd Church. More info, globalwomenstrike.net.
And there's also a new series of solo performance pieces entitled The Chicana Chronicles by Adelina Anthony. And if you want to know more about it, you can look up adelinaanthony.com. The first show in the series is called Bruising for Besos, and that runs until March 15th at the LA Gay and Lesbian Center, Davidson Theater. And so once again, it's called Bruising for Besos. It's $15 to $20, and it's really cool, so you should check it out.
And we want to thank Robin for being here with us. Yay, thank you so much for sharing your thoughts. Reach us again next week at 6 p.m., 6 to 8 p.m. on killradio.org. And also, our show is on Rock Out the Bomba Wednesdays from
10 to midnight.
Latin American punk rock.
What's our email?
Punk. What?
Email.
People our email, echosdelibertad@hotmail.com.
Hit us up.
Goodbye.
Respeta, vamos inventando esta receta.
Cuidado, respeta.
Te lo repito otra vez, que mis asuntos no te metan.
Cuidado, respeta.
Yo lanzo proyectiles de conciencia.
Cuidado, respeta.
Va a bombardear a los pueblos, va a estremecer a la tierra.
Cuidado, respeta.
Respeto, unidad y valor son los ingredientes que
cuidado,
para el sazón son y son una vez más, metiendo la leña en el fogón.
Cuidado, respeta.
Y esta banda va a tomar.
Estando en el...